Amen. Don't you just love this time of year?
Yeah.
Amen. And I love the music. I just love the way Vicky plays the piano. I just always get, you know, my little happy scale always goes up a couple notches after she plays. She just does a great job with that, and that's just a compliment to her. I think she could play a funeral dirge and make it pleasant and happy. I mean, she does a great, great job, and I appreciate her and Brother Ray. They're a blessing. Amen. All right, if you take your Bibles, we're going to turn to the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon. All right, Philemon, that's between Titus and Hebrews, a little small little book, only 25 verses, but there's just a whole lot there. This last week, as I was reading in my Bible, through my Bible reading calendar, and I like to just stay on course with that, I read through Philemon on Thanksgiving Day. And every time I read God's Word, I'm always asking the Lord to help me to certainly, for Him to speak to me, but also for me to be sensitive to something that He might want for me to bring to the congregation. And I'll just say this, I think it's an important thing for us to ask the Lord as we read His Word to speak to our hearts, amen? To reveal some things that maybe that we just need to know and something that we might need to emphasize or dwell upon. Or maybe if you teach or to your family, maybe there's something that the Lord wants to speak to you about to take it to somebody else. And that's certainly what took place. It happens a fair amount. It doesn't always happen that way, but as I was reading through Philemon this week, it was just after I was done, and you can just obviously read it in just so many minutes. It's only 25 verses, but God certainly spoke to my heart. Again, I mentioned it. It talks about offenses that happen in life. That's just something that takes place in life. It talks about Christian ethics and etiquette, which is a good thing for us to get a hold of. I'll mention that. That's not what my message is about, but that's certainly part of what I'll bring up today. But also taking the right steps in resolving problems. And we as Christians ought to be problem solvers, not problem makers. Amen? Yeah, it's really good when you meet somebody and you go, wow, this person solves problems and doesn't just bring them. And I don't want to be a person, yeah, we're all going to have to bring problems sometimes to the table. And we're going to have to bring it into a situation. But I really admire people that are already thinking, how can we solve this? And those people are few and far between. Isn't it good to have problem-solving people around you? I'm really kind of milking this because I'm not getting the response that I want to hear. It's just good for us to be able to see that. It's good for us to be able to have that and have that quality and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to be somebody who can solve problems and hopefully not be somebody that makes problems. But not only in solving and resolving problems, but also I think first and foremost what we see in this book is we see forgiveness and we see reconciliation. And that's a great Bible doctrine. And, that's all throughout God's Word. But we see it here. And it is something that is so needed in this world, folks, that is so full of problems and strife. We need to see a lot of forgiveness going on. And we need to see situations reconciled. That's Christ-like. Because there's just problems aplenty. Solomon said it, Ecclesiastes chapter 2, when he said this, he's talking about all mankind, for all his days are sorrows. Now, Solomon was not in the best frame of mind when he writes Ecclesiastes, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. But that is so true. This life is, we talked about the curse in one of those songs that we sang, because the curse is here, but one day it'll be gone. Amen. But we have to deal with that curse right now, and there are problems in this life, but as in everything else in this life that we live, the Lord is so good. He is so good to give us instructions on how to work through things. God is good if we pay attention and we just get into His book. And we, you know, if you have some maybe some little Bible helps or a concordance, you can find a lot of things in this book. And then as you just get into it more and more, it's just like there's just verses that come to your mind. And that's just good to be able to get into the Word of God and to be able to see what God says upon a particular subject. And so he does with problems and offenses that take place in this life. So Paul is imprisoned in Rome when he writes this book. There are four prison epistles that he writes. You have the book of Philippians, and you have the book of Ephesians, and you have the book of Colossians. He wrote those all in that first imprisonment in Rome. I believe he had two imprisonments. The second one, he wasn't going to leave at all, and he knew his time was short when he writes 2 Timothy, that last book that he writes. But he has this imprisonment here. When you get to the end of Acts chapter 28, when he lands in Rome, he has a pretty good situation set up there, aside from, I mean, he's imprisoned, but he has a lot of liberties, and he's allowed a lot of people to come. You know, it's like a house arrest, and people can still come and visit him. He had opportunities to witness. He wrote those three epistles, but he also writes the book of Philemon. And so he has written these, all of these epistles from that first stay in Rome. So now he's writing this particular book, and that's the one that we're focusing on, is the book of Philemon. And in these first seven verses is basically some greetings to him. And so we'll read those verses, and then we're going to really look at verses 10 through 21 today. But let's go ahead and start at the beginning. He says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. Now, Philemon is a solid child of God, or a solid believer. He's definitely grown in the things of Christ, and Paul commends him for that. So we see that as we look in verses 5, all the way through these next few verses. He says, hearing of thy love and faith. I hear about your love and your faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He says, I hear of your faith and your love for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the fellow believers. My prayer is that you'll become more effective, more effectual in your faith for Christ, how you communicate that. So his prayer is for him that he would just continue to grow and God would use him in a great way. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. The bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. You're just a blessing to the saints. Wouldn't that be great if that could be said of us, that we're a blessing to others? And man, you are just an encouragement. We know you're not perfect. You're a sinner saved by grace, but God uses you. And you've committed your life to Christ, and you're always full of joy and hope, and you're a blessing. Well, that's what's said about Philemon. And now he's going to kind of transition and talk about something that may be a little difficult. So with that, let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to take a look in these next few verses about reconciliation, about biblical reconciliation. Now, Father, we come before you this morning and thank you for the opportunity to gather together. Thank you for this holiday time. What a great thing it was to be able to be together with family in Thanksgiving. Thank you for those here that you gave them a great week as well and a great day on Thanksgiving Day. And Lord, we just thank you for, again, this time of year as we look forward to Christmas and what it means. To the world, it means something totally different, but we know what it means. And we thank you for what you did. We thank you that you came to this sin-cursed earth, that you were born as a little baby, and that you lived a sinless life, and you went to a cross intentionally on our behalf, and you were buried and rose again. And Lord Jesus, we just thank you for that. Thank you that you were willing to do that. you, a holy and righteous God, would come to a sinful earth. And so we thank you that you did that for us. Now, Lord, we pray about this book that we're looking into. We think about Philemon as he has been written this letter, this epistle from the Apostle Paul. And, Lord, it's about forgiveness. It's about reconciliation. Lord, you've forgiven us, and now you show us how we're to forgive others, how we're to have, in fact, we're told, Lord, that we have a ministry of reconciliation. So help us to be all about that. Help us to want to make things work out and to resolve things. I pray, Lord, that you would be lifted up and glorified. I pray that you'd get me out of the way here this morning, that you'd speak to our hearts. And I pray more than anything that the name of the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified. In his name we pray. Amen. All right, so now verses 8 and 9, it's like Paul is staging, you know, it's not like he was flattering Philemon, because those things were true, or else the Holy Spirit wouldn't have led him to write those things. So those things were true, and Paul was not a flatterer by any means. But he thought, you know, he realized, man, I love this guy. He's a blessing, and I want to make sure that those things are said. By the way, when you have to bring up something that's not so pleasant, you know it's good to commend somebody before you have to maybe give them some tough news. It almost seems like your disagreement with me of the silence. It's good to be able to, you know, look at an employee of yours if you have a business or you're in a position where, you know, it's good to be able to say, listen, I want to just tell you some things about what a good worker you are or some qualities. But then, you know, sometimes you have to transition to something that's not so positive, something that's not so easy. So it's good to do that with our kids. It's good to do that with employees. It's good to do that with, you know, any situation where we have to, you know, deal with something. So verses 8 and 9, you can see that the Apostle Paul, you can just see, you know, he's struggling here. But obviously it's the Lord leading him to write this, but the Lord works through Paul too. I mean, it's just amazing when I read this, because it says, wherefore, in verse 8, though I might be much bold, he's saying, I have this opportunity like to use the fact that I'm an apostle and I'm way older than you, and I can use this like this authority thing on you. That's kind of what he's saying here. That I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. In other words, I have this option, but he's like, I don't want to use it. I have this option to just kind of use my authority to tell you what to do. But he's saying, I don't want to do that. What does he say? In verse 9, he says, yet for love's sake, I would rather beseech thee. You know that word beseech means to beg you. I would rather beseech thee, being such a one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. So he's saying, I would rather use the path of love's sake, and I want to just beseech you to do something. I don't want to order you to do it, and I think that that's important for us to understand that. Now listen, we have authority that's been given to us. We have authority as parents. We have authority as bosses at a workplace. We have authority in other places as well, a teacher with their kids, with their students. And yes, there are times you know, obviously, you're going to make the decisions. You're going to make the final decisions. But it's good for us to recognize the fact that we got to be careful about not using our positions to just, you know, hold it over people's heads. You know, oh, look what I think that's happened in this pandemic, wouldn't you say? I think there's some people, some governors, some mayors that have, wow, I've got this control. I've got this power. And they've used it. And it's been kind of glaringly obvious that it's just kind of gotten to their heads. We've got to be careful about that. The Apostle Paul had that opportunity, and he said, I don't want to do it that way. I want to beseech you for love's sake to do the right thing. And so let's just be careful that we ask the Lord, Lord, help me how to be able to navigate through that correctly and to be able to know, you know, as a parent, hey, I could come down on my kids like that, and it'll probably come back to us, right? But if we show them that we love them, and they know that, that goes so much more further. Amen? All right. The more you say amen, the more I would think, yes, they've got this, they know it, that's what they've experienced. When you're silent, I think, oh, they're all guilty. That's what I think. I got a joke with you. So Paul is kind of staging this thing and kind of setting it up and saying, this is the approach I want to take with you. And so the first thing that's brought up is, the first point, if you write down these notes, is the offense. The offense. So just those two words. The apostle Paul now presents to Philemon, someone to Philemon that he is very well familiar with. And he presents to him Onesimus. All right, he says, I beseech thee, in verse 10, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. So he's presenting to him Onesimus, and he calls him a son. So we understand what's taking place, whom I have begotten in my bonds. The apostle Paul has led Onesimus to Christ. And I don't know how long before this. It could have been maybe a couple months, maybe several weeks. I don't know. Doesn't say. But he said, this is my son. He's not his biological son, but he's saying, this is my son in the faith because I've led him to Christ. And so I'm presenting him to you. So somehow Onesimus, who was Philemon's servant or slave, all right, he was a servant of Philemon. Some point he took off. And he went far, you know, kind of like Jonah. I'm getting out of here. I'm going as far as I can go. And he ends up in Rome. And somehow with that, you know, that house arrest situation, he probably hears about, you know, Paul. And, hey, you got to come and visit this guy. He's in prison, but he's allowed to have visitors. And he's, you know, you just got to listen to his message. And so that's probably how it played out. Philemon probably comes and says, what, we're going to go visit a guy in jail, in the prison? And through that, and we don't have the details, he comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You never really know how the Lord's going to connect things. You never know what's just going to fall into your lap. You never know who might just show up at your door. You never know who you might pull over to help, you know, somebody with a flat tire. You might just find yourself in a situation, and there it is, and the Lord's giving you an opportunity. It's a good opportunity for us to say something or give them a track, and maybe that person is ready to just trust Christ as their Savior. And so that took place, and so we talk about Onesimus here was someone who, again, at one time was an unprofitable servant. It says in verse 11, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, which in time past was to thee unprofitable. So something he did at one time, or maybe something he did repeatedly, he became unprofitable to Philemon. That's what Onesimus was. He probably stole from him. Verses 18 and 19, if you look at them real quick, and we'll get over there in just a little bit, but he says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on my account, on mine account, Paul says. He says, I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Gives you the idea that maybe he took some things from Philemon, and then he probably was, oh, man, I think I'm about ready to get caught, and I'm gone. So he took off. Who knows? I'm just trying to fill in the blanks, but that's what it certainly looks like. And by the way, there are a lot of offenses in this life. Okay, there's a lot of offenses that take place. The Lord Jesus Christ even said so. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 1, we won't turn there, but it says this, then said he, the Lord Jesus Christ, unto his disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. It's impossible. It is impossible but that offenses will come. In other words, the Lord says, there's just going to be a lot of offenses in this life. There's going to be a lot of things that happen. A lot of them, when I think about it, are probably very, very petty offenses. But anymore, people seem to get sideways so easy. It just seems like people's skin is getting thinner and thinner all the time. Don't you see that? I mean, people are like, I'm looking at my brother Bill. You know, we talk about these, you know, people just get outraged. Oh, you're a racist. You just said that. It's like, what? I'm Mexican, okay? I'm a Mexican man. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, you know, you say something and it's like anybody's like, oh. So man, at just a the wrong word or how you say it, people are like, oh, you are a racist. I mean, people just want to use that anymore. And people get offended by just the smallest things. And folks, if you know, if you give it enough time, we will likely offend one another. We will. I know that I have offended people. I certainly didn't do it intentionally. But, you know, as a pastor, and I'll just say this, I'll be talking about pastors tonight because that's where we are in 1 Peter chapter 5, is as a pastor, you know, I juggle a lot of balls, right? Some of you are like, you're a juggler? No, just kind of a, just trying to give you a picture here. But I do juggle a lot of balls, and you do too with your jobs and the things that you do, and you ladies that are homemakers, you're juggling a lot of balls, right? But I'm just going to put it on me right now because I know I've offended people and I'm juggling a lot of balls. By the way, I could take you back in my office and on my computer or just some folders. Through the years, I have made so many charts and graphs and little tools to try to make me more efficient, to try to make me a better administrator. I had to do that as a Christian school administrator. It's like, wow, I've got a lot of the... You know, I wear a lot of hats, and in fact, somebody said, you know, yeah, you wear a lot of hats. I remember somebody, you know, asking that, you wear a lot of hats. What's the secret to all of that? I said, well, yeah, I wear a lot of hats, but it's because there's a total disregard for quality. So that's what it comes down to. I can do a lot of things, but none of them are very good. So no, but if I took you back to my office, I'd show you a whole lot of things and things that I'm trying to make myself more better, you know, not just stick 'em notes, but I mean, you know, so you know how that is. We try, and so in juggling these balls, and these balls represent people, I drop some here and there, right? I drop some here and there. Sometimes I just get tired, and some of them just roll underneath the couch, and I don't even realize. 2 weeks later, I find it, and I go, oh, Brother Jason Jones, it's been like 2 weeks. I was supposed to call him 2 weeks ago. That's why he's so mad at me. How many of you drop some balls now and then?
Yep.
Yeah, we all do, don't we? And listen, we can offend somebody. We can offend people very, very easily. And I'm not above being offended myself, all right? You can definitely offend me. Listen, you can find out if I'm eating over at some Mexican restaurant. If you know, that's usually where I, you know, frequent. Is a Mexican restaurant for lunch or something, and you figure it out, and right as soon as they're about to serve me and they're bringing the food out, you could walk in and say hi and distract me and then grab one of my tacos and run out of the joint and go, and I will come and I will be steaming mad and I will do my best and I will hunt you down. I will be offended, right? You don't take my tacos. Right? There's something that'll offend every one of us, right? We can be offended pretty easily. So Onesimus, he's a runaway servant who has been guilty of committing an offense against Philemon. And that is his owner. He has been brought up in this letter. But not only was he brought up in this letter, he is also the deliverer of this letter, this epistle, and in the hopes of coming to a resolution, to getting this thing, you know, squared away. But in order for that to happen, there's a process that must be gone through. We've got to go through a process. That's what had to happen here. And that is the process that we must go through after an offense is committed. In order to make sure that things be reconciled and done in a right way, it's really not good to just sweep something under the carpet and just figure it's just going to go away, because that'll come back to haunt us. It's good for us to deal with things. Amen?
Yeah.
And so we see that there's an offense. The second thing is there's a process. There's a process to getting things right. And God lays these things out in order for reconciliation, for forgiveness and restoration, you know, and reconciliation to take place. There has to be a coming together. There has to be a meeting. That's why he sends Onesimus, because he wants this thing to get squared away. The Lord Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 23 and 24. Those are good verses to write down. Matthew chapter 5, This is the Sermon on the Mount. One of the things that he said on the Sermon on the Mount, he said many things. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee. In other words, he's got something against you. There's a problem. You've got a problem between you and your brother. And it seems to be mostly on him that he's got aught against you. But you know, wow, this is a situation that needs to get resolved. The Lord says, leave there thy gift at the altar. And leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. And first be reconciled to thy brother. And then come and offer thy gift. You know what the Lord's saying is, resolve issues as quickly as you can. You say, sometimes it's not so easy to do. I know that, you know. Sometimes we're not so willing, and sometimes the other party is not so willing. But we ought to take the effort. Amen? We ought to do what the Lord tells us to do. In other words, okay, you want to offer this gift to me at the altar in the temple here? You've got a situation that's got to be taken care of. So the Lord's trying to teach the disciples, set the gift to the side. You'll come back to it later. Go take care of something that's very pressing and don't put it off. Amen? So maybe I'm talking to somebody here today and you've got an issue with somebody and the Lord's saying, now, okay, let me go ahead and kind of mix in this because, yes, the Lord wants us to deal with things immediately, but in the whole context of things, we ought to be praying and there is timing on it too. Amen? I mean, you know, maybe for the moment in this particular situation, yes, I want to get it remedied right away, but the Lord, if we look unto him, he might say, this one has to play itself out a little. That person has got a lot of emotions that they're dealing with. Yeah, and I didn't have this in my notes, but you know, it's the other side of the coin. Yeah, I want to get it taken care of, but maybe the Lord will say, give it a little time and let this thing simmer down. Because sometimes we might be a little bit too impetuous. We might be too quick to want to make it, you know. What the Lord's saying is deal with it immediately, but at the same time, the Lord gives us wisdom on timing. So that's an issue, too, about I want to get this thing settled, but you know what? I think I better wait through the holidays and just pray. And Lord, you give me wisdom because I don't want to hold it off any longer than I'm supposed to. But I think you're giving me a sense that this thing needs a maybe another week or two or whatever. God will give you the timeline. And he's so good at that, amen? He knows all things. And if we just look unto him, then God will show us that what we ought to do. So Paul sent him in hopes. He sent Onesimus in hopes that he which had been unprofitable because of his offense or offenses could become profitable to thee, to Philemon, and to me, Paul. That one, but when you read this passage, you really see it in these verses from, you know, 10 all the way through 21, and this section of Scripture, you see the Apostle Paul is representative of somebody. You know, he represents, you can see Jesus in Paul's place. And so, you know, this is what the Lord, it's almost as if Paul, and he doesn't say it, but you can certainly see it, this is what the Lord's asking of us, what Paul is asking of Philemon to do. And that's why it's important for us to, you know, to be faithful with what he's commanded us to do. So because of these offenses, that's where it says here, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but then it says right here, but now profitable to thee and to me, at the end of verse 11. Well, how is that? How is that to take place? Because the act of forgiveness, folks, the act of forgiveness and reconciliation is so profitable. I mean, I wrote that word down so with a lot of O's. You know how we like to text things and really get dramatic? And we like to throw a lot of emojis on there and we like to stretch words way out, right? Well, it really is the time to do that. So profitable. It's so profitable for us to really get our hands on this. Lord, I want to be all about forgiveness. And I want to be all about reconciling things. What does the Lord say? Blessed be the peacemakers. Boy, if we're about wanting to make sure that we reconcile things and work things out, not that we hide things or sweep things under the carpet all the time. They've got to be dealt with in the right way. But we want to get it right, and we want to see people come together. God will bless you. God will bless you if that's what you want. You want to just reconcile. Now, and this is another thing about, we have a ministry of reconciliation. Here's another great area where we can see reconciliation is to reconcile a lost person to Jesus Christ by telling them about Christ. When they get saved, they've become reconciled with God, haven't they? And so that's part of it too. But I'm talking here about mostly about brothers against brothers, brothers against sisters, sisters against sisters. We're talking about believers, how we can have problems with each other and how we need to deal with them. And how we need to make sure that it's done so in such a right way that it honors the Lord. Now, reconciliation and forgiveness is such a profitable thing for us because it reflects so greatly upon what the Lord did for us. I mean, the Lord forgave us. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 32, that verse says, "And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Right? He's forgiven us. And he says, you're to forgive others as well. Now, we take a look now at verses 12 through 14. He's saying, my hope is that you'll become profitable now, Onesimus, to Philemon. And then he says here in verses 12 through 14, whom I have sent again. So I'm sending Onesimus to you. Thou therefore receive him, that is mine own bowels. Now, I don't know how when Philemon gets the letter, if Onesimus is standing right in front of him as he's reading it. I'm thinking that it's probably not. Maybe Onesimus comes to the house, and there's a church that meets in that house. Maybe it's a pretty good sized house that he's got. And Onesimus comes and says, I have a letter for Philemon. And maybe there's one of the servants there says, yes, I'll take it to him. Would you mind waiting here? And I have a feeling that maybe Philemon reads this letter and maybe Onesimus is waiting somewhere. He's delivered it to him. That's just kind of in my mind. And so here you have Philemon reading this epistle, which comes from the Apostle Paul, which comes from God, because this is Bible. Can you imagine a letter that was sent to a man here in Asia Minor, about a runaway servant, that this is, he's reading this letter. Little did he realize, this is going to be in the Bible one day. He wasn't thinking about that. And he says, whom I have sent unto thee, in verse 12, thou therefore receive him. Receive him. That is mine own bowels. Now, I love the way the wording in the Bible, in the King James Bible, mine own bowels, just like my own heart, is what he's saying. Everything that's just like you're receiving my heart. And he says, whom I would have retained with me, I would have kept Onesimus here with me in Rome. But he says, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. There's no doubt that after he leads Onesimus to Christ, I think Onesimus keeps coming around the prison to come visit Paul, and he's just a blessing to him. He probably brings some things. Hey, I brought some things for you. You know, here's a bag of, you know, your favorite fruits or something. Or I just, you know, and he was probably a blessing to Paul. And Paul looked forward to Onesimus coming. And he says, I would have retained him with me. I would have kept him with me, but he said, I would have retained him that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. In your place, he has been ministering to me, and he would have continued to minister to me. But without thy mind would I do nothing. I needed to let you know how this is all played out. So without thy mind, without the idea that I need to tell you about what's been going on, because you are his master and he is your servant, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. So the apostle sent him for the reason I spoke of, right? That reconciliation would take place, but also for another reason, and that he realized that at some point he must go back to his owner, for he belonged to him. It's not like this guy, yes, he's gotten saved and he's growing in the things of the Lord, but he needs to go back to his owner. As much, again, as Onesimus was a blessing to the Apostle Paul, Again, I would have liked to retain him with me. So we see a lesson here within a lesson on biblical ethics of doing the right thing that we're being benefited by, but it's not really the right thing to do. Think about it. That right now is where the Holy Spirit, and I look to him, he can just put in your mind something right now. And it would be being benefited by something that is really to our advantage. But in the back of our mind, we think, but this isn't really not right, because I'm getting an advantage here over something that really doesn't belong to me. It really belongs to somebody else. That's about the best way I can phrase it. And maybe there's something that God speaks to us about right now. Oh, wow, you know. Yeah, you know, I borrowed Sherman's snowblower like 3 years ago, and it's been just great. But you know what? I probably should take it back to him. As much as I've really enjoyed it, you know. Maybe it's something that we borrowed. So maybe that's happened. But isn't it good for us to realize that's what God expects of us, to do the right thing? And Paul realized that, wow, I can't just keep Onesimus with me. Even though he's a blessing, he's got to go back to his owner, the right thing. And so may we always do the right thing. I'll just say this, because it's easy for us to, as Christians, to want to cut corners, to want to try to take shortcuts, maybe with our jobs, and maybe because it's easier on us. But you know what? That usually kind of eventually comes back to the boss, doesn't it? But when the boss realizes, wow, that guy never, or that gal never cuts corners. She does a thorough job. I can put all my trust in that person. Oh, and by the way, that person is a Christian. Well, I'm not a Christian, but you know what? That has an effect if we do the right things. Amen? And so there's a lesson there within a lesson. Now let's just take a look at verses 15 and 16. In verses 15 and 16, he says, "For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord." Now, again, though this can be a very difficult, you know, step in the process to take this particular step that he is bringing forth here in verses 16 and 17. He's saying, I want you to forgive Onesimus. And he's now coming back to you as a different person. I believe Paul says that he'll come back and be profitable to you now. And I'm hoping that you won't even just bring him back as a servant now. He's your brother in Christ. And I'm hoping that you'll bring him up to another level because of that relationship that you have with Onesimus now. Now, that takes a lot of maybe swallowing pride. What about us when maybe somebody's done dirt to us, right? You know what I'm saying when I say done dirt to us, right? You know, somebody did, you know, they didn't treat us well. Maybe it was growing up, maybe in a home, I don't know. Maybe it was a work relationship, maybe some extended family member. Maybe there's somebody that you used to call a best friend, and something has happened, and there's some bitterness there, right? We've all experienced bitterness, and maybe even a little anger towards somebody. And now the Lord is telling us about reconciling and forgiving, and even forgiving to the point of full forgiveness. You know, there's a kind of a half forgiveness. Have you ever been guilty of that? Yeah, I forgive you, but it's like, anytime something comes up and I have the opportunity, I'm going to bring it up again, right? And we probably have done that, but you know, the Lord, Paul is writing to Philemon saying, I want you to fully forgive him and lift him up to a place that maybe we wouldn't have even thought of, but lift him up to a place where you've fully forgiven him, you respect him, he's your brother in Christ. And the Lord may ask us to do that, because, you know, if we do it and we do it in the right, Now, it doesn't really say how this played out. I happen to believe that Philemon forgives Onesimus. And I happen to believe that that relationship was way sweeter in the end. Because the words that Paul says as we get to the last few verses here, I think points to the fact that I believe Paul is totally saying, I believe Philemon's going to do this. I think Philemon, he loves the Lord. And he knows what he's been forgiven of. I know he's going to forgive Onesimus. I have no doubt. In fact, that's what he says in just a little bit. And without a doubt, it goes without saying that it glorifies the Lord greatly when we forgive at that level. Amen? And then finally, we just take a look at this last point, and that is the goal. And the goal is reconciliation. The goal is reconciliation. Though we often want to see our conflicts get resolved, quite often there is something standing in the way. And you know what that thing that stands in the way is? It's our old, what? Our self, our pride. You know, that old pride is there, and it can be quite a hindrance. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10 that only by pride cometh contention. If pride gets in the way and we don't deal with pride, it's always going to be a source of contention. Well, you treated me a certain way and I can't get over it. And you know what? That's just pride. You know, we end up getting full of self. Yeah, that person may have done us harm. They may have said some cruel things. But bottom line is the Lord tells us, commands us to forgive. Amen? Yeah, we're told to forgive. And if we don't, there's some consequences to that. Verse 17, and it says this, if thou count me therefore, and Paul is saying this to Philemon, if thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. Do you not hear the Lord Jesus speaking in those words? Yeah, it's, again, Paul is the one who's writing this, but it's as if the Lord Jesus is in the person of Paul. He's saying here that so Paul lays upon Philemon a kind of a very heavy scenario. He's really saying, if you want to stay close to me, Paul, and the Lord says it to us, if you want to stay close to me, then you had better forgive and receive him as you would me. It's very, very clear. I mean, the Lord says it over and over in his word. He said it to the disciples when they asked him how to pray, and he gave them the Lord's Prayer, which was really like the disciples' prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. And in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 7, it says this, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And then he says this, but if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if we want to hold on to something and hold a grudge that took place, and the rest of us might go, you know what, that's legitimate. If somebody had done that to me, I'd be angry, but you know what, our words shouldn't fly. It's got to be what the Lord says. And the Lord says, we're to forgive. He's forgiven us. And if we're not willing to forgive, the Lord will not forgive us. Yeah, we'll still be saved. We're still children of God, and we're still on our way to heaven, but boy, we're going to seriously mess our walk up with Christ. He's not going to be able to use us if we've got that in our hearts. In verses 18 and 19, it says this, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. Paul is saying this, again, just as the Lord Jesus Christ would say, if he wronged you, forgive him. If he took from you or can't even pay you back, forgive him still. And it's as if the Lord says, for I will take care of you. I'll take care of you. You think, oh man, but you know what? That guy, we went into business together and that guy ended up with thousands and I was just left with nothing. I've seen that before. And, you know, it's like, okay, the Lord says, are you going to forgive him? Yeah, he's never going to be able to pay you back, but are you going to forgive him? Folks, if we'll just do the right thing and take the high road and trust Christ and just seek his face and want to do the right thing, God will give us the grace to do the right thing. It may be a difficult thing for us to do, but He'll give us grace to be able to forgive. If we come before Him and say, Lord, you know how I was treated. You know what happened. Yeah, I certainly was probably part of the problem, but that person robbed me. That person did this. We could fill in those blanks. Lord, I don't want to in my flesh. I don't want to in my heart, but I want to do what you want to do. God will help you. God will help you and I to do the right thing. It says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The Lord will take care of you. The Lord will take care of your needs. If you feel like, well, I lost a whole lot on that. If you just honor God, God has a way of just paying you back in His own way. I'm not saying that God is obliged to have to make sure you get that money. No. God does whatever He wants to do. So I'm not about to say that. But more often than not, if you would just honor the Lord and say, Lord, I'm just going to let it go. I want to do the right thing and just forgive that person. God will take care of you. He will take care of you, and whatever you felt like you might have lost, God's going to just replace it with whatever He wants to replace it with, and you'll be fine. By the way, the Lord says, listen, if you want to count me a partner, receive Him as myself. Then He gets to that verse 19. He says, listen, forgive, because think about it, you owe me a whole lot. The Lord says, you owe me a whole lot. The Apostle Paul said that of Philemon. You know, I've done a lot for you, and I've been a blessing to you, but I'm not going to just pull that one on you. Then we get verses 20 and 21 as we finish this up. He says, yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. He said earlier that you have refreshed the bowels of the brethren. He says, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So Paul finishes up by saying, let me rejoice knowing that you're going to do all that I ask you to do. I know you will, Philemon, because I know you're a man of God. I know you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know it's not an easy thing to have had what Philemon did to you, what Onesimus did to you, but I know that you'll forgive him. And to think, if Paul truly represents the Lord Jesus, of what is said again at the end of verse 20, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Just think of the fact that Paul says this, if you do this, it'll bring such great joy to me to see you do what Christ wants you to do. And to think about this, if we do what the Lord asks us to do, I believe that we can put a smile on God's face. I believe that we can bring joy to the Lord Jesus. The Bible talks about that we want to bless you, O Lord. To bless means to make happy. And the way that we do that is when we do what's right. And if we'll forgive somebody, maybe somebody that's done an awful lot to us, and do the right thing, and seek reconciliation, and seek restoration, and seek forgiveness, it'll put a smile on the Lord Jesus Christ's face. I have no doubt. And so we see that God's laid it out very, very clearly for us on what we're to do to reconcile with others, to forgive others. We've been forgiven a whole lot as Christians. And the Lord said, listen, there are going to be a lot of offenses in this life, and you're going to commit some as well. And others are going to be committed against us. And so just go through the process and do the right thing. Get together with that person to make sure that you're going to try to, work this thing out. But do it in the right timing. Don't procrastinate. But get it done when you should get it done. Look unto me. And then just seek some reconciliation. There's nothing better than to get things squared away with somebody that we have ought against. Or somebody that has ought against us. Can you think of some of those situations as you go back into your memory banks, you think about some of those situations that have gotten worked out? Isn't that just a great thing? And God wants us to be that kind of a people, that we want to have forgiveness. So, we're going to offend one another. We might not say hi the right way. We might send a text with not the exact right emoji that we really wanted. And it's going to offend us. But you know what? We've got to get past these things. We got to love one another, and at times we may have to get together and talk things through and pray with one another and get it right. You know, God blesses a church that does that. We're not going to bat 1,000. We're going to probably have some issues here and there. Like I said, I hate the thought of it, but I will probably offend somebody here at some point. I may just say something. I may say, you know, tomato instead of tomato. I don't know. Something dumb. But, I mean, it could be legitimate. And, you know, but I know I would never do it on purpose. And so may we just be able to have, you know, a Christ-like spirit and work things out. Amen? Because it honors Christ. Now, maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You know, it was just a week ago, June got saved. That's just great. And maybe you're here today and you don't know that Jesus is your Savior. Maybe you've believed about Him up here, but you've never trusted in Him in your heart. The Bible says that He died for us on a cross, that He lived a perfect, sinless life because He's God. He was buried and rose again, and the Bible says if we'll receive that gift of eternal life, come to Him with a heart of repentance, He'll save us and give us eternal life. And so in just a moment, Brother Ray's going to come, and then the piano player, whether that's Vicky or not, whoever that is, then I hope you respond. And maybe there's something in your heart towards somebody. I hope you'll get it right. Maybe you come and pray at the altar, pray in your seat. If you're not saved, I hope you'll come forward. We can talk to you about how to be saved. Let's bow our heads, and we'll go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You. And